morning.
Yeah. All right, all right.
So, putting him first, as it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have a question to ask. Are you choosing Jesus over everything else? Is he first in your life? Or do we just kind of have him somewhere in there so we can say that we worship Jesus? Or is he truly the main foundation purpose in your life? Now, in life, we have people that may say, you know, you got to put me first. And usually it's for a personal or an ego reason when we have that, right? Usually it's, I want you to put me first because I'm your dad, I'm your husband, pastor, however that is. And it's usually for me. It may benefit you some, but it's usually for me. But in this case, when God tells us to put him first, it's actually 100% for us. Do you understand this? The thing you need to grasp is everything God leaves for us to do down here is for us. You choosing not to do it. And I see kids go through that with school or other things that would still have an attitude as if I don't want to do this, not realizing, but this is for you. And especially when it comes to worshiping Christ, this is for you. We must put him first. If you turn your bulletins over, and the title is that question that I ask, are you choosing Jesus over everything else? We see first, the only way to successfully be the Christian we need to be, we must follow Jesus above and before everything. Everybody say everything. And everything includes all things, okay? So we see in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, it says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, putting this together, in no way is he telling you not to love your family. In fact, that's huge and very important for us to do. In fact, the Bible shows us if you don't provide for your immediate family, you're worse than an unbeliever, okay? But what he's saying is how you love them. Amen? And one thing I think a lot of people think is going to happen is they think there's going to come a time, and their excuse they're going to use is, well, I did this because this is my child. I did this because this is my whatever. And we'll add the family member in there as our excuse, as a pass. The problem with that is God is love. Amen? So if God is love and I'm not applying God, then I'm not loving them. So when he says, if you love them more than me, you're not loving them. Does that make sense? Okay, so he's letting us know, that's why he says, whoever finds his life will lose it. That's when you exclude God, you lost. I don't care how much it seems like you gained, you've already lost. And so he's getting us the only answer at the end of it, whoever loses his life, watch this, for my sake, will find it. Okay, so I have to lose it with a purpose. If I just don't care, you know, some people say, you know, I don't care. That's not losing it for him. That's just not caring, and that's bad, because you're held responsible for certain things, okay? But you have to lose it in a sense of, I wanted to do this, but Christ said. I would rather do this, but for Christ. I got to make sure before I do this, I check with Christ. Does everybody get this? You see how this works, in which he has to be the answer and the priority before everything else. How does it benefit me? Because it then lets me in the right path to do all of those things. If I love him before I love you correctly. If I exclude him when I love you, I'm not loving you. Does that make sense? It might feel like the love we've distorted down here, but it's not. Our actions and our words must display Christ. It says in Matthew 10, 32-33, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. That's strong language right there. He's putting a lot there. Now, he's not just saying walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I know that's what some say do. No, this is much deeper than that. This is much deeper than that. What this is saying, the word acknowledges comes from a Greek word, which is not just saying stating, but displaying. Acknowledging, right? In every case of the way, you're showing Christ. And that's what he's saying. So you have to show it in what you do. Now, If for some reason I don't, in other words, when I do the I'm a Christian and I know I'm supposed to blah, 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 but I'm doing this other thing, that's me not acknowledging him. In fact, I'm disowning him. When I react in some other way, that's going back to that first one. If I love my family and I say, oh, it's because it's my son, why I'm loving them this way, right? But I'm not doing it his way, I'm not acknowledging him. And no, God's not going to be like us, not wishy-washy, going, no, I understand. He understands, that's why he warns us. Does that make sense? He's letting you know, you need to acknowledge me. Once again, not for his ego, but for your protection. You're acknowledging him for you and for the other person's protection. So when I acknowledge him, he acknowledges me. When I disown him, I'm saying I don't need him. So I'm then, just, you know, he says, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. That's strong, strong language. Please understand the significance behind that, because we don't take that serious. We still kind of apply Christ when it's convenient for us. That's still disowning him, right? Still disowning him instead of recognizing that. Jesus must come before our good deeds and helping others, recognizing it's Christ that makes them good. Understand, if you do a good deed, okay, let's say we go for the Red Cross, and the Red Cross is doing something, and they're doing some good things, you do understand those are just actions. They're not good deeds if they're not done for Christ. Now, you have to get that understanding first. If not, you'll go out and do a whole bunch of what the world says is a great thing and pat yourself on the back and you want credit for it. You understand that? And based on the world, you got your credit. Based on God, there's absolutely nothing. Okay? It has to be done through him. Matthew 26, 6 through 13 kind of breaks this down. This is while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the Leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which he poured on his head, and he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. Now watch this. And we know in other places it was mainly Judas asking this question. This says, the perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Now even though Judas himself meant it for greedy means, okay, for selfish means, the statement is right when you first look at it. You know what I mean? Couldn't you use this for a better situation? Once again, on a human basis, when you're looking at it, you're saying, yeah, he could have sold this, made money, and give it to the poor people who could use it. But look what Jesus is saying. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured the perfume on the body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, whatever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now, here's the importance. She understood, and this is what they're letting us know, it's because of Christ good deeds can happen. It's through Christ that we could help the poor. It's because of Christ that we can truly do effective good deeds. Do y'all get this? If I go it alone, ineffective, totally meaningless. I may have a moment of something, but overall, nothing. When I don't include, he's showing the primary. This young lady Mary comes in and she realizes Jesus. He's the primary, the reason that all this goes through. And the disciples are noticing a momentary thing. It's like reaching up for the ark when it's falling, like we went over last week, before they recognize the reverence of how they're supposed to deal with the ark. When they would go, this is Jesus, they should have gone, Jesus, what do you want us to do with the perfume? You see how that works? Checking with you. We go, I'm going to go do this because it's good. But we never check with Jesus. And if you check our lives, we do that a lot. We do stuff without checking with Jesus. Oh, but this is a good thing. Never checked with Jesus. Right? And in turn, we're doing it and it becomes self-righteous. I think the whole world would agree, oh, that's a good thing you're doing. But did you check with Jesus? You don't know how many times I've done something for somebody and on the surface, man, that was great. Later on, I look back at it and going, I think I caused more damage. It might have been later, but wow, at that time, it really seemed good. And it came back to, did you check with Jesus? Amen. A lot of us are doing that in our lives right now, in which we're applying things without checking with Jesus. Putting him first. And you'll realize there's sometimes you're going to do more, sometimes you're going to do nothing based on Jesus. Christ must come before our daily responsibilities. Luke 10:38-42 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha offered her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, stopping there, once again, I think all of you, we might, because we know this story, we look at Martha and we're like, oh, Martha. While on the surface, I think all of us are the exact same way as Martha. We're more Martha than we are Mary. Okay? And how do I know this? Think about it. We'll have church. Instead of people going, I got all this stuff to do, but I got to get the word. You see that very little. In churches that you see, I got so much to do for this thing I have coming up. I got so much I have to do for this. Am I right? There'll be an event that's getting ready to happen. And you'll go out of your way to break your neck for that event and say, well God, I can always go to church. I can always do this. And I can, right? All those other things will come. But man, you'll be worried to death over one of these temporary things. Not saying it's not important. Not once did he say it wasn't important. But God will take a back seat. Am I right? It'll be with our job, it can be with home, it can be with an event, it can be something. Some will go, you know what, when I don't get done, I don't get done, I got to get the word. Not, well, it would be nice to get the word, I'm going to do my best. No, no, I got to get the word. Is there something else you like me to do? Because I got to get the word. And they understand this is first and foremost. So we got to make sure we put that ahead of everything. It says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. And not once is he saying what she's doing is wrong. He says, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So let me give you the significance of what she's saying. So Martha, the thing she did probably would have been the nice thing. People said her house was clean, the food was good, done. Moment over. What Mary is getting is eternal. Does that make sense? Okay. Like I said, it's one of those. Let's say you come out. You come to church, and church is for you, right? You choose not to come. That's fine. But who is hurting is you. Now you don't come for some event. You go do that event. The event's successful. The event's over, right? But what you missed in church, you're still held accountable for. Did y'all get this? Right. Right, so I'm still held accountable for that. Why? Because that's eternal. God's not going to test me on this dinner party I had. That's great and nice, and I might get credit, but he's going to check me on what he told me. Well, God, I don't remember you telling me that because you weren't there. Oh, but I still told you. Does that make sense? We have to put him first for us. It benefits us. That's why he says you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Other things are okay. Other things may be important, but only one thing is totally needed. If you fail, if she failed at that dinner party, that's that one time thing. It's going to fade. If I fail at Jesus, did y'all catch that? That's eternal. Amen? If I choose not to go that way, he says it will not be taken away from her. Jesus must surpass daily and worldly activities. Matthew 8:21-22. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, immediately we look at that and go, oh, how can he say this? This is such an important event. And that would go under the thing of sacred. Once again, we talked about that last week, and I get it. It's hard when somebody dies. You want to put so much into it. And this is significant, once again, because Jesus is showing, you understand the importance of it when he's saying, following me to help the those that are alive, because you can do no more now for those that are dead. That whole event we put on for them is doing absolutely nothing for them. You do understand that. Now, pagan things think that. They think somehow how you bury them and what you do at the service, they're done. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. It sounds cold, but it's truth. Do you understand that? Like I said, usually when I have to officiate a funeral, I'm now ministering to the people that are there. Okay? And to hopefully that what happened will minister to them if time is short. We get caught up as if we're going to do something for those people that passed away. Correct? You do something now. Jesus is like, come on, we got to do something for the people now before they get to the state of where this person is now. Do you understand that? Okay? So you understand, putting him first, he gives us his wisdom, his understanding of what's important, what's necessary. It tells us that where we put Christ is what supplies our daily needs. Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" Okay, those are the basic essentials that everybody needs. Some people, you lose your job, prices go up, something happens. Now, what's your next response? If my next response is more geared towards my needs, geared towards them, and not geared towards Christ, that means I was never depending on Christ. Think about that. Okay, a lot of times we say we depend on Christ, and he'll allow these things to happen to step back and say, okay, let me see if they're truly depending on me. All of us go through tests. Okay, everybody goes through tests. All right, and it's not for you to panic. Panic is worry. It's one of those of, now, how do you handle this? He gave you the answer if you're truly trusting in him. He's saying, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father already knows you need them. He's not sitting there going, oh, what? You didn't have food? You didn't have No. He's saying, I know you need them, but are you asking and trusting in me? So watch what he says. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Did he say some? A few? No. All the essentials you need, you will have. This is how you access it. The way we know we're not doing it, because some people will say, God will provide. Is that seeking first the kingdom is righteousness? No, that's just saying some words. You understand that? You can say it. Remember he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, if you say God will provide, and then somebody watches you, seek first, and his kingdom is righteous. We just did an order my steps on it. So y'all should be experts on it by now, right? Everybody here knows exactly how to seek first his kingdom, and if you don't, it's up on the website, or you can see me, and we'll sit down and talk about it again. But you understand, the Bible shows us how to do that. You'll see you go into action, but see, you won't see it then. You would have seen it anyway. Does that make sense? You would have seen that action or that response in your life anyway. That person lives first for the kingdom and God's righteousness. Right? They're prepared for losing their job. They're prepared for a sickness to happen. They're prepared for a crash in the economy. Why? Because they're going after the one thing that's providing for them. Christ's kingdom and his righteousness. They already have. They're living that. They're living for his kingdom agenda, and they're living for his righteousness. They're growing in it. They're understanding it. They're applying it in everything that they do. Why? Because he is the source. Amen? Other than that, much lip service. God will provide while you're doing all these other things on the side. And unfortunately, the majority is the latter. The majority of people say it, but they really don't believe it. And you can tell by our actions. Remember, our actions display if we truly have this at all. Worldly revered qualities are not godly revered qualities. Which do you pursue? That's a good question to ask. Let me say it again. Worldly revered qualities are not godly revered qualities. Which do you pursue? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Now, he added that human standards because most of the titles we give are based on what a human says it is. Okay? Human wisdom is foolishness. But we don't get that. Once again, how do you know it? Because we're putting these people as our leaders. We're marrying these people. We're chasing after these people. And we'll say, they're so smart. They're so brilliant. And you'll hear why and how they're so smart and brilliant. It has nothing to do with God. So wait a minute. Wait, what? Seriously? You're calling this and this is the person you want to lead your house? Remember, say, that's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. You're in trouble. They're going to give you some logical answer of how that's going to happen. Why? Because you're following after a human standard instead of godly standard. He goes on to say, not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Okay? He's showing these characteristics that the world may hold people up. You know, we have some people because of their name it travels and because of where they were born, where they live. You know, you hear some people live in one area, you're like, oh. Another area, oh, right? We change. Just from, I can say two names in Harrisburg, I can say in Pittsburgh. When you go, there's areas. If I said the name and said you live there, immediately you think I'm rich. Or you think I'm the poor. Just from saying the area, am I right? Okay? And we put all that stuff out there, and we allow this worldly stuff for us to judge people. But watch this. God chose the foolish things of the world. Have you ever noticed, he said that's what he chose. Then why are we chasing after the foolish things of the world? Why isn't that what we're pursuing? I still want to be great. I still want to have a great name. I still want to have, right? I still don't have all of these things, unfortunately. But he said, no, he chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Why does he keep adding of the world? Because these are not really weak. They're not really foolish. It's just based on the world they are. Does that make sense? In other words, I'm not trying to strengthen myself based on what the world says strengthen. I'm strengthening myself based on what God says strengthen. Okay? World will say, don't let nobody walk all over you. God will say, turn the other cheek. Now, a lot of us sitting here going, I think I agree with the world. If you're being honest, you're saying it under your breath. Right? And that's the problem, because we look at the world's way, and by sight, it looks like, yeah, don't let nobody talk to you that way. Well, God is saying, no, love your enemies. Give my other tunic. You know how much tunics cost? Right? We put this stuff out there in which, why am I doing all this extra stuff for them? They don't deserve anything. Instead of us recognizing, wait, there's a much higher power out there. And to the world, I look weak. That's fine. To the world, I look foolish. That's okay. But God's going to use me. Do y'all get this? Okay? And truly use me. He says, he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things of this world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. You get a lot of people today that call themselves leaders of the Christian church, and unfortunately they tout their own resume, their own activities, what they did. It's almost a, look at what I did, I'm going to show you all the stuff that I'm doing, and all this that I'm doing ain't our great. And then we chase after them. And then they give you a whole bunch of false doctrine, and they skip the Bible sometimes. And we still follow them because we're like, isn't it great what they're doing? And why does it look great? Because we're looking at what they're doing instead of following what God says they're doing. It'd be very clear. You know them by their fruit. It's almost instant if you do what he says. Look through the lens that he gives. But we keep looking through our own eyes and go, that's great, right? What he did was great. People thought Pharaoh was great. Thought Nebuchadnezzar was great. A lot of these kings who had these powerful regimes and things like that. This is why people are going to be pulled over and messed over by the man of sin. You think great with your warped mind now, you're really going to be distorted by him. He's literally going to get up there and say, I'm God. And people are going to believe him. Do y'all get this? Okay? And it's because we didn't put Christ first. It says it's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. It says, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, and you can add the from God for it, our holiness, and our redemption. All of these from God. I want true wisdom. Let him be my wisdom. Let him be my holiness. Let him be my redemption. Does that make sense? I have to 100% trust in him. That means I have to 100% let go of me in order for that to work. Therefore, as is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God is not impressed with all the things you have. Now, in no way am I belittling any of your achievements and awards that you may have gotten. But hopefully you're looking at them in the way that God is looking at them. This is a nice thing, but God, how am I doing with you? You know what I mean? I'd give away all of these in order to serve you. Does that make sense? I want to make sure my name is in you, because these awards are going nowhere when it comes to you. There will not be an award ceremony. He's going to say, Keith, bring up all those awards you won in the world. Do y'all get this? That has to go have nothing to do with those. He'll put those down. Come on up here. You understand? Because those had nothing to do with it. In fact, those were distractions in certain cases. So, the right way to do it is to do everything through God. I'll give you three ways to support that. First of all, he must be the purpose for everything in your life. We read this verse so many times, and I'm hoping so it sticks. I want it to stick so deep inside of you that you understand it and you get it. And you just think about this. When he says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he shows us that he must be the purpose of everything in your life. It says, so whether you eat or drink, so it takes the two most basic things in your life. He's saying, so I don't care if it's eating or drinking, doing your hair, walking, whatever it is. And that's why he says, or whatever you do. So the extra stuff I just added, is added into that, whatever you do. He's saying, everything you do, one purpose. Do it all. Everybody say all. All includes everything. Do it all for the glory of God. You understand this? Now, when it says for the glory, please don't get that mixed up. Some mix it up as if you're getting something, that he's going to give you a... No, no. For the glory is a displaying of. Do you understand me? Representation, a magnification of. So do it to display Christ. Do it to magnify God. Does that make sense? Everything. Everything. How I love, how I deal with my finances, how I sleep, everything that they can say this comes from God. Can you do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes, some things in the Bible, he gives great detail. Other things, he gives us just enough. As long as I go in the Bible first and go, okay, I'm cool with doing it this way. God, y'all get this? Now, do it any way you want and say you're giving it to God. Right? Because we read, that's wrong. You're going to see how that doesn't work. We're getting close to that. But so keep that in mind. That's going to be the foundation. I put that one first because that's the foundation of everything. Do it that it displays him. If somebody just seen you walking down the street, do they see God? And you're like, well, I'm just walking down the street. There is a way to walk down the street and glorify God, and every other way doesn't. What does that mean? There's so much attached to that. You understand? Something simple as, some of us walk around and we're kind of looking all evil, like somebody from around me, and you come close to me, and I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like I'm going to bite your head off or whatever. Is that glorifying God? Based on what the Bible says, we're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be approachable. All the above. But you have an attitude. Right? Something as simple as that. Right? Simple smile. I'm not saying you sit there with a big, giant Kool-Aid smile on your face. I'm not saying that. But a simple smile, a pleasant hello. They didn't say hello. That's why I don't say hi to people. Wait. That's so the reason why you say hi to people is because they say hello? And the reason why, so it has nothing to do with God, is what you're telling me? Right? No. I say hi to everybody. In fact, my wife does more than me. We'll go on vacation. Hi, hello. I'm like, okay, baby, you don't have to do everybody on the street, but I'm going to say hi to everybody. And then if they can say it and they don't, because it's all to glorify God. Do you understand that? Keep that in mind. Then the second thing, you need to focus on your true strength. Everybody say true strength. One of the biggest distractions Satan has done for us is he'll give us certain things that seem to give us success. So we'll lean upon that something. Seem to give us success. But there's only one true strength. Okay? And if you don't lean upon that strength, the thing that seems to give you success, when it lets you down, you'll feel like the whole world just fell in. Because you'll go, what just happened? I don't know. Until you realize that's never been your true strength. That was something that masqueraded as a true strength, and you relied on something that was eventually going to let you down. Amen. There's some people that rely on people. And that's one of the biggest things. There'll be a person or people in your life and you rely on them until they let you down. And man, you're devastated. Why are we devastated? Because it never should have been the people. Never, ever. Does everybody get that? It has to be in him. Watch what he says here. He says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Now, every Christian must be content. Why? Because the situation should not describe you. He's saying you're going to go through some things, and if the situation describes you now, you're in trouble. Because you're going to go through, and I'm talking about in both sides of it. Real undesirable situations, people want to go hide under the cover and just give up life, and right? I just want to quit. I wish everybody would leave me alone. Please don't call me. You just want to get mad. You want to feel, and that's wrong. That's wrong. You got to be content. We'll get ready to talk about that. But I'm talking about the other extreme also. Have things been perfectly comfortable? Everything seems like it's working out. Well, usually you don't want to hide. You just want to go do stuff. Forget y'all. I got stuff to do, and I just want to be in myself and enjoy me. And then we're away from God also. And once again, in a huge amount of danger. He's saying, no, the secret of being content. Content means I don't care how you change my situation, whether giving or taking, I'm going to be the same, Christ-like, be able to be used by Christ. Christ can take me and put me in the slums, and I can be used by him. And he can take me and put me in the richest place in the world, and I can be used by him. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? I hear more today, we keep giving excuses. And that's why I said the excuses are so dangerous, because God doesn't give excuses. We're supposed to grow outside of the excuses. All the excuses should be is a marker of where you are, not where you should be. You understand that? You grow them out of this. So he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Y'all see that? Being content in any and every situation. He said, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He's saying, situation. Please do not bring in a situation. I can do a few things. Some things. Those things on Wednesdays and Thursdays. No. Everything. All things. I can do everything through him. That's the key. Who gives me strength. Everything includes all things. Right? So he's saying, that's my true strength. Did and have I been doing everything through him? See, the problem is we have certain things in our lives that we're depending on right now. And it seems, everybody say seems. Y'all see why faith is so important? To be working. Right now. You got where I'm coming from. People have stocks. Remember stocks were up like 27 something right now if you're watching that or whatever. And however that works, I don't understand. I just know people were watching at one point and they're just basking in how great it is. Now it's back down below a little bit than it was when it first started. People are kind of frustrated with it. And then when it goes back up, they'll be happy. And when it goes down, they'll be sad. And it's like, what is this? You understand that? Instead of recognizing, yep, that's going to do that. But I'm in the same place no matter how that market goes up and down. Because my provider, my source, my God is the same. Do y'all get this? All right, a true dependence on him. He's the one who gives me strength. Now, please don't just say that to say it. You have to mean it. If he is the one that gives you strength, then we should see you reaching for him for strength. You don't just say it. Once again, that's that lip service. That means I'm studying the word and I'm applying it. Why? Because he's my strength. Everybody else is doing this over here. Why are you doing this? Because that's my strength. Did y'all catch it? At the moment, it may look foolish. Oh, but that's my strength. This one's going to hold up. May not be as glamorous, but it's going to hold up. Yours, it will fail you. Will fail you. Not may, will. Everybody get that? Watch this massive example that he gives us. Putting God first means doing everything for the purpose of God only. Now, if I just said so-and-such is out there doing good deeds and so-and-such is out there praying, you'd probably say amen. Right? Okay? So to show you how deep this goes, when I'm saying I'm putting him first, because if I don't do it with him in mind or with him purpose, it's meaningless. Watch what he says in Matthew 6, 1 through 6. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. I hear some people go, well, at least they're doing something. Have you heard people say that? You ever people give that? Well, at least they're doing some good deeds. At least they're doing it. He just told me, be careful not to do it. And he gave me the rule for not to do it. So I have to not only do them, but I have to do them with the right purpose. A lot of people do good deeds with the wrong purpose. And I just wiped out anything of God in that purpose. Did y'all get that? Anything. On the surface, seems like a good thing. Might have made somebody smile. All that's good. Still meaningless. I made it temporary. I took God out of it. You understand that? He says, be careful not to do the acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? It was still an act of righteousness, wasn't it? Remember, it comes down to the purpose. Amen? A lot of us will do an action, and I want credit. Why did you do it? Is the question that's going to be asked. What was the reason why you did it? And there's the answer will be shown in how you do it. And he explains how you do it. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. Your main reason was so people to know how righteous you were. I always told people, the most generous people, let me rephrase that, the most generous looking people in the world are actually the most greediest people in the world. Think about that. Why? They'll be generous to the world because they'll look like they're giving a lot for the purpose of you praising them. That's your sole purpose. He's telling us to do stuff that sometimes you might even get credit for. Because you're doing it behind the scenes. Now, why does he want me to do it behind the scenes? Why doesn't he want me to get the credit? Because I didn't do it anyway. I am an instrument. Please understand. That's all you are. Stop giving yourself so much credit. You don't deserve it. If an instrument goes out of tune and they can't tune it, guess what the musician does? He gets another instrument. Did y'all get that? And he'll still play the exact same songs. Right? So in the same way, we have to understand that I'm allowing myself to be used by God. It doesn't go, it's because of me God was able to do it, but I allowed myself to be part of what he did. Does that make sense? He was like, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received a reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's between you and me. They glorify. This is the way that verse says, when they see your good deeds, they'll what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. You know what I mean? If they thought I was a rich man and Keith, as the rich man went out and gave to a whole lot of people, they would say that Keith Smith is a great man. Wouldn't they? However, if somebody was giving and you had no idea who was doing it, you can assume, you can guess, but it comes right down to praise God. Am I right? It just took that person out of it. Watch what he says here. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. So once again, you get those people, well, at least they're praying. No, there is a purpose behind praying. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So in other words, they're putting on a show. You have some people who are excellent speakers, man. They know how to rhyme and put stuff together, and it's just outstanding, and it's meaningless. Totally meaningless. To the world, you'll go, I want them to pray for me. And you're going to get a big meaningless prayer. You can put it in a frame and put it on your wall and it all sounds good, but it's doing absolutely nothing if the foundation is not Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay? And this is what he's saying. Hypocrites do it because they want to be seen. They seem to come off holy because of the words they use, because of the length of their prayers, because of all that junk. And it's a lot of junk because their purpose is not to serve God. He says they love to be standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In other words, their prayer has been answered, even though the prayer that they asked for has not been. They put on their show, people seen it, amen, hopefully they enjoyed it. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who is seen what is done in secret will reward you. Significance of putting Christ first in everything that you do benefits you. But even more dangerous, when you don't, it hurts you. Amen? All right.